Good afternoon. It's good to be with you. Glad to have those of you that are visiting with us. Last Sunday morning, we began a series of a few lessons going through the wisdom literature as it applies to our families. Last Sunday morning, we talked about how the wisdom literature applies to mothers, and today we want to do one of a couple of lessons that we'll do regarding parents and how the wisdom literature, namely Proverbs, is helpful to us as parents. And so we want to talk about being good, godly parents. In all the wisdom that Solomon imparts to his son throughout the book of Proverbs, he offers a lot of practical advice. And really, Proverbs is one of my favorite books, and I believe it's probably the favorite of a lot of people because there's so much packed into just a little bit of space. And he offers practical advice to his son about circumstances that will happen later in life. And the topic that affects his son in the future is how to be a good parent, a godly parent. And you know, not everybody in our audience today is a parent. But everybody in the audience has had a parent. And so we are directing this toward parents, but I think there's some useful things in it for all of us, regardless of whether you are a parent or not. And I can't prove it, but I don't believe that Solomon's son was a parent yet when this instruction was given. And if you think about being a parent one day, the wisdom is certainly useful. And sometimes when we look at wisdom literature, we look back at things we've done as parents and realize that we fell short of applying some of the things that might have been more useful if we had been more consistent in doing those things. But we want to be considerate of the examples that we see in these lessons and in this literature to help us to be the kind of parents that we ought to be. And we also want to help those who are parents in this regard and encourage them to do what sometimes is not politically correct these days, but to raise children the way that God would have them to be raised. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, probably a very well-known passage to us that was read tonight by Noah Gassaway. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Most of us are aware of this proverb and have heard it before. And sometimes I believe this proverb has been abused and misused and misapplied sometimes because we place so much emphasis on the second part of this proverb, that when he is old, he will not depart from it. And here's what I mean. We talk about this proverb a lot when you see children go off in the wrong direction and say, well, you know, they went off the deep end, so we retroactively say, well, that parent must not have trained the child in the way that they should go. I want you to remember, too, that this is a proverb, and it's a general statement of truth. And so sometimes parents do everything that they can and still children have a mind of their own and go off in the wrong direction. But that being said, we place so much emphasis on the second part of this proverb, and really where the action is in the first part, to do the training in the first place. So the point here is that Solomon is imparting this wisdom to his son, and the key here is the first half, to train the child. He needs to be trained. So if you just reread this proverb without even reading the second clause, train up a child in the way he should go, period. What you see is that Solomon is giving instruction on the need for parents to train the children. And if you do that, if you train the child, then there's going to be rewards for that work. And a parent is given the duty to train the child in the proper direction. Another translation of this same passage, to start children off in the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And the Hebrew word translated train in many translations, and the word start really means to narrow the choices and to initiate, to just get them off in the right direction. A dad I know teaches his daughter's soccer team, and I'm not talking about Jason. I don't know if you were coaching it or not, but I know you're involved in that. But this particular father, he said at their first game, he's teaching a bunch of 4 and 5 year olds in an open grass field
And it's interesting because the kids have so many choices about what to do and where to go. And a lot of them are not right. And they're not reflective of the game. So they can stand still and they can look up in the sky. They can sit down and they can pick the grass. They can think about what's in the concession stand and they hope it's going to be open when the game is over. They can turn their back on the game completely. They can run off the field. You see, the choices are limitless. And as the coach, he stands on the field with the players. And the times when players had their backs to the ball, you know, the coach tries to grab them, turn them around. There's where the ball is. The coach turns them around, points them in the direction that they are to go. He can tell them to stop looking at the sidelines, start looking at the ball. And once they find the ball, what I want you to do is I want you to run toward the ball and try to have some kind of contact between your legs and the ball. There's only so much the coach can do. The coach can turn them, he can point them in the right direction, but he can't run out and kick the ball for them. Or if he did, I guess their team would be disqualified. This is the idea, I believe, that Solomon is teaching about parenting. You can't make them run the right way. And believe me, if there was something that my dad could have done to force me to do the right thing, he would have done it. But there's only so much you can do. There's nothing that a coach can do to make the child run to the ball, but you can pick them up, you can point them in the right direction and tell them to go. And we, as parents, we have a God-given responsibility to be the ones that train the children. And many parents want to be other things to their children. They want to be their friend. They want to be their playmate. They want to be their food provider. They want to be their babysitter. And I understand a parent does all of those things from time to time. But a parent is to be the one that trains the child, the one that narrows the way, that starts the child off in the way that they should go. The parent is the trainer, not just a babysitter or a food provider. And we live in a society where there are many people that don't know what to do with their children. Many times you hear parents complain that their children do not do what they are told to do. You know, for many years, Gary worked in the school system, and he could tell the kind of training that kids had at home or the kind of training that they did not have based on the way that they followed other people's directions and the way that they recognized or didn't recognize authority. And so here's a simple idea for parents that say, my children don't do what I tell them to do. And I know this is really obvious, but we have to teach them to obey. We're to tell them to obey and teach them to obey. And many parents feel like they are helpless. But parents don't have their hands tied behind their back. But sometimes parents act that way, like there's nothing that they can do. You know, they're just going to run wild. There's not a thing that I can do in the world about it. But parents can do something. Solomon says there is something that you can do. And my dad knew many of the things that Solomon had to say about it. You can train your child. Train your child to listen. Train your child to obey. And as parents, we're responsible for their actions, and it's up to us to point them in the right direction. So we need to realize this. Solomon tells us that you can train your child and set them on the right path. And so some of the things that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs is how one trains the child and why one should train the child. You want to set them on the right path. And so let's take a look at the wisdom of Solomon, just briefly concerning good, godly parenting. In chapter 29 and verse 15, New American Standard Version, says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. I used to think that my dad just looked up every passage that had to do with a rod. And that was back before you had computers, but you had a concordance, and you could look up rod in the concordance and find all of those passages. And he knew those well. But this proverb teaches us some important concepts about training. Let's look at what it says. To leave a child alone without direction, training, or discipline will bring the parent shame. I was watching a TV show just recently, and the parents were panicked because they wanted to go on vacation, but they didn't feel like they could leave the kids at home, because they felt like the house would be destroyed if they left the kids there. And they're probably right. They're probably right that they had legitimate concerns about that. And the wise writer says, you don't want to do this if the child doesn't have direction or discipline. Sometimes children don't do what they ought to do and cause problems, and the parents say, oh, they're just going through a phase. How many times have we said that, or how many times have we heard that? Because the parents have a false idea that the child will grow out of certain characteristics. And I realize that there are some stages of childhood that are more challenging than others, and somehow when children become teenagers, they all of a sudden amass so much knowledge that they didn't have before that even surpasses the knowledge of their parents. But this idea that, well, they're a problem now, but they're not going to be a problem later because it's just a phase they're going through. Many times that phase lasts a long time. Well, they'll grow out of being a bully, or they'll grow out of being selfish, or they'll grow out of being obnoxious. And the belief that they will grow out of these character traits is not something that you want to rest a lot of hope in. The parents are to train those characteristics out of the child, and the wise writer says there's some ways that you can train that out of the child. And the first thing that Solomon talked about here is a couple of tools that can be used to train the child. And the first one is the rod. I don't know if you're familiar with the rod, but the rod can come in many different forms. It can come in the form of a pinch. It can come in the form of a belt. It can come in the form of a paddle. It can come in the form of a switch that you have to go cut off a tree in your backyard and then bring it to your dad. The rod can be come in many different ways. So Solomon says this is a tool that is going to help in these situations. So he directs us to use corporal punishment to train our children. And this is something that goes against what many people in the world would teach you. And so you shouldn't touch your child. You shouldn't beat your child. You shouldn't, whip your child. If you're seen doing that, you're going to be turned into law enforcement. And I understand there is a difference between disciplining a child and harming a child physically. And this is not, Solomon is not saying, I want you to go beat your child half to death. He's saying that they need to be spanked, they need to be whipped, they need to feel a little bit of pain in order to get the point that there are some things that they're doing that they're not supposed to do, or things they're not doing that they should be doing. And so Solomon uses this many, many times to direct us to train our children. In the beginning of life, a young child, many times this is the only way, when they're very young, to train a child to get that swat on the leg or to get that spanking. I can remember my mom pinching the fire out of my arm when I was sitting next to her in services, and she didn't have to make any noise. She didn't have to make a scene, but she got her point across that I was doing something that I shouldn't be doing. Now, when Ethan and Brendan were less than a year old, I couldn't reason with Ethan. Now, Ethan, I realize you're only 10 months old, but you need to realize that I'm trying to help you prepare for life and what you're doing. Ethan, 10 months old, is not going to understand that, and Brendan either. He can't be reasoned with about why he's not to put toys in his mouth. I can't reason with him and tell him, I'm doing this for your protection so that you don't choke. The only thing I can do is swat his hand and tell him no, that so those things are not going to be dangerous to him. I'm not going to grab those things. We all understand that. It's important because this action establishes that the parent is the authority. I know these things are very basic and very simple, but very basically and simply, a lot of times they aren't being applied. But by establishing this early, hopefully you will not have to swat your child later on in life because you've established some authority when they are younger, and they'll listen to your words, knowing that, you know, when there's disobedience, it brings punishment. And one of the largest problems you see in society today is that children know that disobedience is not going to bring any punishment, or that the punishment that they're going to receive is something that's so minor that they would rather do whatever the disobedience is because the punishment doesn't mean anything. Because the parent has no authority in the child's mind, and so there's no reason for the child to do whatever the parent says. And if you don't know if that's a problem in your parent-child relationship, you know, there's an easy way to find that out. You can tell your child to do something, to get something, or go do some kind of chore, and then you measure the reaction. You know, what happens? Well, do you receive immediate obedience, or do you get complaining and questioning, or do you receive no response at all? And I know this is just hypothetical, this never happened, but if your child does not listen to you, then maybe they don't perceive that you're in charge. Or maybe you haven't been consistent in the way, you know, discipline is being applied and not doing a good job training. And so that's a way to figure out whether or not there is a problem is if you continue to have those kind of issues. The second thing that Solomon mentions other than the rod is reproof. And I believe reproof is to more of a reasoning thing that you do with your children to explain why they receive punishment. Punishment only really angers a child. And parents must explain the reason for the discipline. And this is something that angered me when I was growing up. If I was not allowed to do something or was punished and didn't really understand why. And it's good for the reproof to have some kind of teeth because you explain it and the child understands why they need to do a certain thing. I know that there are many times when parents just want to say, because I told you so, because I said so, because the child is too young to understand. And there's a time when that's appropriate, but there's also a time when reproof or explaining is appropriate to set the child down the right path. So what we see here is Solomon gives these two things that you can do. You can use the rod and you can use reproof through reasoning. And so if we don't train our child through corporal punishment and through reasoning, then Solomon says it'll be shame to you. Shame will be brought upon you. Also, another one of my dad's favorite verses in chapter 20, verse 30, physical punishment cleanses away evil, such discipline purifies the heart. When people argue against what Proverbs says, when people of the world, including many Christians who have become susceptible to what the world teaches on this, well, I'm not going to discipline my child. I love them too much to discipline them. Oh, really? You know, is what we're saying is that we don't really believe what God says and that we're smarter than Solomon? And are we really going to argue against the wisdom of God and go along with the wisdom of men? The problem is many times we want to be looked upon favorably by the world, and we fall right in line with what the world does. But we're not smarter than God, and certainly not smarter than Solomon. God says that you use physical punishment to train. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6 references this. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines and scourges every son whom He receives. And you also remember the Hebrew writer saying that as youth, we receive discipline from our physical fathers and likened the discipline that we receive spiritually to that discipline we would expect from our physical fathers. And so God says that He uses punishment to train us. James chapter 1 says the same thing, that trials produce godly character. And so if trials produce godly character in those who are spiritually mature, it also makes sense that you would not want to spare your children from discipline that would help them too. If discipline helps us, discipline is also going to help those that are being trained. God is saying that this is the way that you purify the heart. And so Solomon really presses this point, if you look throughout the book of Proverbs, that children need correction. They need parents that will set the boundaries, set the rules, and enforce them. And part of the problem, and you know, I'm preaching myself as much as anybody else, is that sometimes as parents we're just too lazy. And we're inconsistent. We don't want to get up and have to deal with it. We don't want to have to deal with children. We don't want to put in the hard work to do that training. Or you know, just wait till your father gets home. Or your mother's really going to be angry with you about this. And we want the spouse to take care of it. But children need training. They need guidance. And if you don't want to have to train your child, then you shouldn't have children. Because that's just a part of being a parent. And unfortunately, parents do not have to pass some kind of test to become a parent. We have to pass the test to go get a driver's license. And there are you know, many different types of things that we have to pass to be certified to do some task. But there is no test that qualifies us to be parents. And many people become parents and do not do any of this. Do not do anything according to the way that God would have it to be done. And if the children grow up to be good citizens, many times it's because other people in the family may have intervened or they've received some kind of training, or the parents have just been really, really lucky that they have a docile child that is agreeable to everything. But you know, that's not usually the case. Many parents are lazy and they don't want to put in the work. But parents are told by Solomon that it's up to you to drive the foolishness out of the child. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18 says, "Discipline your son while there is hope. Discipline your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." The New Living Translation has an interesting translation. It says, "Discipline your children while there is hope. If you don't, you will ruin their lives." And that's a nice paraphrase of that. And that's very accurate. You know, it's not saying if you don't discipline your children while there's hope, it's going to make you miserable. Which it will, but discipline your children while there's hope. If you don't, it's going to ruin their lives. It's saying it's for their own good that you do that. It's not just about making life comfortable for you, it's because they need that. Parents have a short amount of time to set children on the right path. And it's been said that it doesn't really take a whole lot of time to create a brat, and it's hard work to make one that's not. It's hard work, and while they are young, that's when they can be molded and shaped, but there'll come a time when they will not listen. And if you refuse your responsibility when they're young, by avoiding the rod and avoiding reproof, then Solomon says you're not helping them. In fact, you are ruining their lives by doing that. In Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17, "Discipline your son, and he will give you rest. He will give delight to your heart." So that's a statement of hopefulness, isn't it?